Okay, welcome friends to May 17th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. It is I, your host, Joseph DeCristoforo. And for the next 5 minutes, we'll be talking about America, the good, the bad, and the ugly. But first of all, we'll begin the show as we customarily do with the Pledge of Allegiance. So let's all stand up, face the flags if we have one, and put our right hands over our hearts and begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Damn, that felt good. All right, now moving on to today's program.
A lot of love in the air. We'll wish a happy anniversary to Andrew Johnson and First Lady Eliza Johnson. Plus, Governor Jerry Brown and Rock Queen Linda Ronstadt appear on U.S. Magazine together. Kinda.
We'll wish a happy birthday to Tony Parker, and Chuck Berry, Fats Domino, and Little Richard have a jam-out session. All right, so now let's do this!
1827, happy anniversary, Andrew and Eliza Johnson. The Taylor of the Tennessee was 18, and his beautiful bride was 16 when they got hitched, making them the youngest couple in presidential history. They both came from humble beginnings. Eliza was born October 4, 1810 in Leesburg, Tennessee. Her dad was a shoe cobbler and innkeeper and passed away when she was about 16. But she helped her mom make a living by sewing and selling blankets and sandals. She and Andrew were practically kids when they met, as he tried unsuccessfully to find work as a tailor in Tennessee. But it was love at first sight. Ironically, he'd soon become the mayor of the town, so he didn't need a tailor anymore. But Eliza is credited for grooming Andrew for politics in the first place. He was a little educated, and she was a little educated, so it worked out. Later on, he would become the father of the Homestead Act, but for now, he was just the Tennessee tailor. And when Tennessee became a Confederate state, he remained loyal to the Union, which naturally made him a target, along with his family. Speaking of his family, they had 5 kids. Martha was the first and would stand in for her mom at most White House events when Dad was president. Charles was born in 1830, died 33 years later as a surgeon/pharmacist, maybe an alcoholic according to history.com, but ultimately killed by a horse accident. Mary was born in 1832 and lived her life with her husband, who was a colonel for the Union cavalry, and 2 more sons who grew up to be boozers and died young from alcohol poisoning. Robert at age 35 and Andrew Jr. at 26. During the Civil War, Eliza was forced to surrender her house to the Confederate Army in Greenville. She and the kids tried to leave by train, but were arrested and detained for 2 days. Then finally they settled in Nashville. Shortly after the war ended, her husband took over the presidency upon Lincoln's assassination, but Eliza had come down with a nasty case of tuberculosis and couldn't function as First Lady. This is where daughter Martha took over most of the first lady roles, though Eliza was able to attend many of the functions while her husband was president. Despite her condition growing worse, she was able to be there for Andrew, especially during his 1868 impeachment, for which, of course, he was acquitted, as I go into detail on my May 16th ep. This would be Johnson's only term. General Ulysses Grant would win the 1968 election. So the two retired back to Tennessee. When alcoholic son Robert committed suicide, that proved to be a bit much for Eliza, and her health went downhill fast. Andrew would become reelected for the Senate in 1875, but died of a stroke in July that same year. Eliza would spend the holidays without him, and then succumb to her illness on January 15, 1876. Happy anniversary, Andrew and Eliza! 1978, The Governor and the Rock Queen. Linda Ronstadt and Jerry Brown appear on U.S. Magazine together. From 1971 to 1983, the rock star and the politician dated. I was a little young when this was going on. In fact, I was 6 years old staying at a house in Lake Tahoe when they were dating, right down the street from me. Anyway, who cares? Jerry Brown, born in San Francisco in 1938, became a Secretary of State of Cali and lobbied as a politician against the oil industry. He followed Ronald Reagan and became governor of California from 1967 to 1975. From Tucson, Arizona, Linda Ronstadt, born in 1946, to the father of a successful hardware businessman, and granddaughter to Lloyd Graf Koopman, a successful inventor who contributed to the microwave oven and flexible ice tray. Linda broke out with the trio at age 18, and later on hit the big time with Long Long Time in 1971, followed by the album Heart Like a Wheel, which launched her career. In 1976, Brown tried to run for president, but Jimmy Carter would take over the Democratic National Convention and eventually president. Linda continued writing and recording what Rolling Stone mag would call torch rock and released Hasten Down the Wind, which spawned her second Grammy Award. She actually played for President Carter during his inauguration while Jerry stood by. Then the torch rocker showed up in magazines wearing sexy lingerie, and progressive Jerry didn't have the capacity in those days to deal with a male-dominated music industry. She released her eighth album, Simple Dreams, knocking off Fleetwood Mac's long-standing record Rumours from the number one spot at that time. In 1977, she sang the national anthem at the Dodgers vs. Yankees World Series. Jerry and Linda publicly appeared to be dating, and finally on this day in 1978, wound up on US Magazine together. Kinda together. Actually, his picture was separate from hers, but it was still on the same cover. In the 1978 California election, Brown would win re-election by a landslide, despite opposition to Prop 13, which reduced property taxes and the way that they were assessed. Ooh, baby, baby! Linda released Living in the USA, yet another album and tour that cemented her legacy above top female performers. Jerry was late in campaigning again for the 1980 presidential election because he took Linda on a date to Africa. Newsweek said, quote, "Were the singer with a heart like a wheel and the governor with a soul set on the White House getting it all together at last?" Unquote. For the 1980 presidential campaign, Jerry unsuccessfully went up against Edward Kennedy, and Kennedy would in turn lose to Ronald Reagan. While Frank Sinatra was playing for President Reagan, Linda was still playing for Jerry, although somewhat reluctantly at this point, according to Rolling Stone. Jerry Brown would explore the world and its cultures, while Linda enjoyed another successful decade, as during the 1980s she would team up with Emmylou Harris and Dolly Parton, in addition to her successful solo albums. Upon reflection in subsequent years, Linda Ronstadt called Jerry Brown smart, funny, disciplined, and cheap, recalling a time she was getting ready to go to singer Rosemary Clooney's house for dinner when Jerry showed up, unexpectedly wanting to tag along. He found a box of roses on her doorstep from a fan, tossed the card that accompanied the roses, and chose to bring them to Rosemary's, saving himself a buck or two. Yes, Jerry, as in Brown. Good old Moonbeam. And moving up to 1982, happy birthday, Tony Parker. He started in a French basketball league, and since nobody cares about that, let's talk about what he did for the San Antonio Spurs. How about helping the team get four NBA championships in 2003, 05, 07, and 2014? Yeah. Happy birthday, Tony. And finally, 1995, after all these years, Chuck Berry, Fats Domino, and Little Richard played together for the first time at a concert in England.
So that is pretty much going to wrap up May 17th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Once again, I'm your host, Joseph DeCristoforo. I got this website. Check it out. joesdailyushistorylesson.com. Check out the comment board and let me know what you thought about today's show. For example,
did you send an anniversary card to Andrew and Eliza Johnson? Or what about Jerry and Linda, for those of you old enough to remember? Did he even know what to do with her?
Basketball fans, how do you like Tony Parker? What was your favorite Chuck Berry song? Do you know how to do the twist? And if so, can you teach me? So yeah, let me know what you thought. Leave your comments on the comment board, please. And let's get involved in a discussion. Now, moving on to tomorrow's program.
I'll talk about Zero Point Energy,
Abraham Lincoln, and Jacqueline Cochran. So until then, you can hit me up on Facebook and Twitter. So thanks for listening, everyone, and thanks for being great patriotic Americans. See you tomorrow.